For most people, the word hospice is associated with pain and suffering, and above all, death. Many of us would not even relish the idea of stepping inside a place that cares for the terminally ill, as few like to dwell too closely on the uncomfortable truth of our own mortality. But as I've been finding out, a hospice nowadays is far from being a grim and depressing institution where terminally ill people die in agony.
This is a place of much love and much laughter and much hope and much faith, and certainly not a place of doom and gloom.
Denise Mulligan is manager of St Michael's Hospice in Hastings, England, and she believes it's high time to discard the typical doom and gloom image of a hospice. The commitment of Denise and the other staff to the patients at the hospice shines through when they speak, and she's quick to point out the rewards and privileges involved in their job.
I think here those of us that work here and dearly love our hospice actually have learnt much from our patients, and we support them and they totally enrich our lives. I think when a person is actually nearing the end of their life, that we can actually learn much for the way that people actually live. And I think for us that work in palliative care, we learn something every day from the people that we care for.
With many people automatically equating terminal illnesses with dreadful physical pain, it's not surprising that many patients who first come to any hospice are worried about the agonies they believe must lie in store for them. Maxine Clist is manager of St Augustine's Nursing Home, which is attached to St Michael's Hospice. And she says they do everything possible to ensure that dying is pain-free in every sense of the word.
Absolutely. That is what we're here for. It's not just about their physical pain, it's about their emotional pain as well. And we aim through our multidisciplinary to achieve that for them in the way that they want. They're only going to die once. Our job is to make that as peaceful and as dignified for them as possible. And it's about them allowing them to die the way they want to do.
Denise agrees with Maxine and points out that the quality of palliative care has made enormous strides in recent years.
Certainly palliative care, true palliative care, which is what we offer here at St Michael's Hospice, specialist palliative care, is a very exacting science. You know, diamorphine is certainly one type of analgesia for physical pain, copes particularly with, say, organ pain, but you might get bone pain or nerve pain particularly, which other types of treatment are much more effective. So it's actually that really specialist approach that we offer here at the hospice that offers the best solution.
In addition to removing the pain, Maxine says their motto is to do everything within their power to make their patients' final days as happy as possible. And she told me sometimes they go to incredible lengths to try to satisfy their patients' wishes.
I had a patient who was a breeder of llamas, and her wish was to actually see her llamas before she died. And so we made every arrangement. We got drivers, we got horse boxers, and our only failing at the time was unfortunately due to the foot and mouth restrictions. We weren't able to actually get the llama down. We tried everything possible, and that was enough for her. She knew that we weren't giving up on her wishes.
Even without pain, death is a frightening prospect for most of us. So how much of a comfort is it to have a strong faith in God? The Reverend Robert Langdon is the resident chaplain at St Michael's Hospice.
Well, my experience is that where people have a faith, it is enormously strengthening and comforting for them. But a large number of people don't have a faith, and that's where we come in. We're there for them. We seek to offer a ministry of love, compassion, sympathy and hope. And of course, in a large hospice, such gifts are constantly needed.
He says often the real challenge is persuading people to come to terms with and accept the fact that death is inevitable for all of us.
Anthony was a depressed and agitated man, kept asking, what's it all about? What's the purpose of it all? Why? But a gentle, caring ministry of our whole team, in the end, brought about a peace and a calm and an acceptance. And I noticed that anxiety and fear disappeared from his face during those last days, and he died a peaceful death.
Maxine says emotional pain is sometimes the toughest nut of all to crack when trying to help people come to terms with their own mortality.
We've had some very tough cases. Probably the hardest ones are the ones with emotional pain. I had a gentleman who was a squadron leader in the Second World War, and he saw his whole squadron of young men burnt to death on a raid. And this haunted him all the way through his life. And this came back to him time and time again as a dream. He would be climbing steps, and when the door opened, there would be a big, large fire there that he had to step into. And this was representing what his death was going to be for him. With very, very gentle work through all members of the team, we helped him to come to terms. And I got a call in the middle of the night, and I came in and I went into his room, and his face was just so different. And he then described to me the dream that he had had that night. He climbed up the stairs and he opened the door, and instead of there being fire there, there was a big, beautiful blue sky. And he now knew that death was something that was going to be peaceful and it wasn't going to hurt. And in actual fact, Ian died 2 days afterwards, taking no more painkillers than paracetamol, because his emotional pain had gone now.
But is it tough for them emotionally, looking after people who they know are destined not to be around for much longer? Maxine again.
It can be, but as a team, we work together as a team. We all recognise that there's going to be a patient that's going to push a button in us more than anyone else. And so as a team, we rally together, we support each other. But it's not all darkness, because we have those patients alongside the ones who have got problems who are playing rock and roll music to 4 in the morning, you know, celebrating their life. And so we're part of that. So there is this balance going on all the time with happiness and sadness. But at the end of the day, if our patients have died peacefully, with dignity and with acceptance, then the stress isn't there because we've done our bit.
Do you consider that those are the rewards of your job, or are there other ones as well?
I think the reward for me is knowing that a patient has died, accepting that death is there, that they are embracing it, that they are pain-free, they're symptom-free, and more importantly, that the family are there as well, that they have accepted that this is going to happen, that we can't change the inevitable. Yes, there will be sadness, but if we can help reduce that for them by a degree of acceptance and through lots and lots of love in our community, that's where my satisfaction comes from.
That was Maxine Clist, and you also heard the voices of the Reverend Robert Langdon and Denise Mulligan, all from St. Augustine's Hospice in Hastings, England.